One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to part two of our interview about Spirits of the Southwest, where we are talking with the authors Dan Baldwin, Rhonda Hull, and Dwight Hull, also paranormal investigators, about their experiences going about the Southwest and looking for the dead. I want to throw this question out to you guys because it's something we really haven't discussed yet. How is it that all three of you got together and began a shared interest in the paranormal?
Well, let me just give you a little bit of background on all three of us here real quick. I've been investigating the paranormal for about 34 years. Dan has been a pendulum dowser for about 15 or 20 years. And, you know, Rhonda has been a psychic medium all her life. So we have some really solid background between all three of us. And we have investigated, obviously, throughout the years on our own. Rhonda and I got together about 5-6 years ago and got married about 5 years ago. And we met Dan kind of through the internet in a way. Dan and Rhonda used to work for a group that used to find missing children and unsolved homicide victims and stuff like that, and they did that for several years. And then later, you know, Dan and Rhonda were kind of talking about it, and I said, hey, you know, Dan said, why don't I just come down there and, you know, see what we can see and go to places and, you know, see if all our skill sets mesh. So we said, yeah, hey, that sounds great. So we went to a location, a place called Cortland. It's a ghost town in southern Arizona. We went to an old jail there, and we did a session. Dan did his pendulum. Rhonda, of course, used her psychic abilities. I used mine a little bit. and use some equipment. We don't use a lot of equipment. Long story short, we had a great session. We contacted some spirits. We were able to cross one of them over. So it was a very successful meshing of all three skill sets. So we, after that, we kind of said, I think we're onto something. So, all three of us being incredible lovers of the Old West history and being where we're at, which is, literally 10 miles from Tombstone, Arizona, there's a lot of it around here. So we decided, hey, let's just get together and start looking at some of these sites and, lost locations or forgotten locations, and see what we can see and hear what we can hear. And that's what we did.
Let me ask you this. With some of the locations, obviously some of the ghost towns and such, aesthetically, very spooky, very creepy looking, and naturally would make people think of ghosts and hauntings just because of how because of the state that they're in. Was there anything with that when you went into it? And obviously there, I'm sure there's been ghost stories and ghost hunting that's gone on in many of these locations. But was there any of the locations that you were interested in investigating that had not really had a whole lot of investigation done on them? Or maybe there was some, but not a whole lot was found that really stood out to you as, this is interesting. I think we might be some of the first people to really get something out of some of these places. Tell me about some of the locations or some of the first spots that you guys decided to go and check out as a team that were off the path, places that others may not know of unless they're really, native to the area that you wanted to go and do some investigating at, and how that went.
Well, one of the places we went to, it's not very well known. It's up by the Superstition Mountains, up where Dan lives. It's a place called 96 Ranch. It's probably about 10 or 12 miles off the road, way up into, a mountain canyon. And it's an old ranch. It was used for many things over the years, I guess, but, back in the day, it was just an old ranch and rather large. We went up there. Dan knew about it. It was the first time we, Ron and I had heard about it. So Dan said, hey, let's go up there and, see what we can see. So we're, hey, absolutely. So we went up there and, walked around and, eventually we did some sessions up there, EVP sessions, and, Dan did pendulum sessions, which, we contacted a lot of very interesting folks up there. It is a chapter in our book. The gentleman that we kind of got in contact with and made friends with is a young guy at the time, lived back there way in the day, was drafted, we assume, and went to World War II. And probably, from what we can tell, he was killed somewhere in the Pacific during the war. And this is where he came back to after he passed, because the location that we were in was a barn where apparently he got married to his sweetheart just before he left. So that's the place that he comes back to and the time that he comes back to. We got some amazing interaction, got a lot of good information from him. And we did get some EVPs, one of them of which is boots with spurs walking across the floor. And you can actually hear the Doppler effect, where you can hear them getting closer to us and then turning around and walking away from us. So that was, instant gratification, so to speak, that we knew that was, somebody was definitely there with us. I mean, not only with the pendulum and, Rhonda and I, feeling him and talking to him psychically, but having the actual recording that we can play was a great, cherry on the cake, so to speak.
When you were sitting there and you were asking questions and you were doing an EVP session, did you hear the boots and spurs audibly with your ears while you were there? Or was that something that you picked up and after the fact upon reviewing the tape?
Yeah, no, we heard nothing while we were there audibly.
Okay.
This place is way, way back. You couldn't hear the highway. You couldn't hear any, no noise at all. It was, as far as EVPs go, it was about as perfect a location as you can get. And no, we did not hear anything at the time. It was only after we played back the recording and we heard these spurs, you know, and the footsteps, it was like, wow, you know, that's amazing.
What is the state of the ranch? Like, paint the picture for us of what it's looking like today.
What it looks like today is there is one house that's still standing, barely. It does have a roof and some walls, but it is barely standing. The barn we were in was the floor and some, you know, rough wood timbers and a roof, and about probably two or three foundations of houses that are no longer. In the paddock of the barn, though, there's a big boulder that's in the paddock there, and there's actually some old Indian grinding stones from way before the ranch that the Indians used to use and grind up their, you know, their grain or their corn or whatever. So there's a lot of different layers of history there that, you know, we touched on a little bit, but primarily we were able to talk to the one guy. But it was an amazing, amazing location.
When you first walked in there, did you have any feelings? Do you guys have that where you can sense things? Are any of you considered to be sensitive, where you can really sense there's something going on even before you know it, before you picked up evidence, I guess, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Rhonda is a psychic medium, as am I. So we do generally pick up, you know, feelings even before we get to the location. But once we got to the location, Rhonda immediately started picking up, you know, the presence of different spirits. So then it was just an issue of, you know, getting the three of us together, Dan getting his pendulum out and doing the cooperation. We would ask questions, you know, Dan would have his back to us and working the pendulum, and Rhonda would say, okay, yeah, that is yes. And Dan would say, yep, that's a, I'm getting a yes on the pendulum. So we would, you know, double check each other right there on the spot immediately, so we knew that the answers were clean coming through both Rhonda and Dan's pendulum. But yeah, very frequently she'll get indications that there's somebody there even before we get there.
At this location specifically, is there any sense or knowledge as to why those spirits are still there?
Well, we think that the spirit that we talked to, the gentleman, we think he's still there because he keeps coming back to, you know, his wedding day in the barn. And we think that's because it was probably the happiest day of his life. He got married to his sweetheart. It was before he went to, you know, overseas in the war. So we think that's why he comes back to that time and location, because it was just, you know, the happiest time of his life. So, you know, why wouldn't he, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Moving on to another location, tell me about another spot that you guys have investigated for the book that stood out to you.
One of the things that we are very intent about is bringing to light very important historical sites that are relatively unknown. And one of the most interesting to me was a place called the Presidio. And it was really surprising. We went out there, and again, this is about a 45-minute-hour hike into the desert, stepping over the rattlesnakes as we go, very lightly. But it's an old Spanish fort from the Spanish days. It goes back to, I believe it was built in 1776. And it's quite a substantial ruin there. There are adobe walls, and some of them are barely noticeable, and some of them, you know, you actually have walls that are 3 and 4 feet tall. And the Spanish moved in there, and the Apaches said, we think it's time for you to leave. And there was a lot of violence there, and eventually the Apaches drove the Spaniards out. They went back down the river. And we fully expected to run into, you know, either Apaches and or Spanish soldiers. And so we did our normal. We went there. It's a beautiful location, a beautiful site. We walked around and kind of got a feel for the place. And Dwight and Rhonda are very sensitive. I'm not. I'm a pendulum dowser, so I don't get feelings, or very rarely do I get feelings. But they felt strongly about this one particular area towards the edge of the camp overlooking the river. And we sat down and we did our normal session. And we started, we made contact. And the interesting thing was we had no trouble communicating, but we were having trouble with terminology. we couldn't quite make ourselves fully understood. For example, we figured out these were Native Americans, and we started talking about using the bow and arrow, and the people we were talking to did not know what a bow and arrow was. So we started exploring that, and eventually I got to the point where I thought maybe these were very, very old people from an ancient time, and I described a spear point called a Clovis point, which is distinctive of a culture that goes back 10,000 years, and they instantly knew what we were talking about. So at that point, instead of talking to Apaches and instead of talking to Spanish soldiers, we were talking to people from the time of the Mastodon and the saber-toothed tigers. And apparently we had sat down in what had been their campsite there. They were nomads, but this was a campsite above the river. And that was just a fascinating conversation for the simple fact that we were talking with people who had no language. Mm-hmm. We had no language in common, but we had no trouble communicating. The only trouble, only challenge was terminology.
That's a fascinating thing. It's one of those things that I've thought about many times when we talk about ghosts, is quite often we hear ghost stories of folks who have passed that lived 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and in some parts of the world a bit further back than that. Very rare do we ever hear anything where it's 10,000 years back. Why do you think that is?
That threw us for a loop, yeah.
Yeah. Just as a personal question and a personal opinion, why do you think that is?
I think it's just a matter of we were at the right place at the right time. I think they were nomads and they were on the move, and they had decided to come back and visit this site primarily because, and this is speculation on my point, but they probably had a very good hunt there. It's a very beautiful spot, very peaceful. A lot of water nearby, a lot of plant life nearby, and a lot of game nearby. So I think they came back there just to visit, and we just happened to hit there at the right time.
Of all the locations that you visited, what was one that you would look back on and go, yeah, that kind of made me uncomfortable? That location maybe more than we may have been bargaining for. Was there any of those locations?
Not a one. We've
really?
Never had what you would consider a negative experience.
Okay.
Never had what I call the get out moment. Yeah. It's never happened to us.
So you would say that everything that you visited were fairly probably human people that were walking the earth at some time, and you're just kind of walking around their house and their territory.
Exactly. I think that's one of the reasons that we are so successful. I think your audience would be interested to know that one of the unique things about our book is we have extended conversations with spirits. We don't grab an EVP and say, hey, we got our EVP, and then we go home and add that to the collection. We're there to interview people. Our theory is, what better source of information about the Old West than the people who live there at that particular time? And generally, we walk in, and we're very polite. When you're stepping into somebody's house, even if the house is no longer there, to the spirit, it is still there. And you're still walking into someone's house. You're still walking into their place of business. And so we go in very politely. We ask permission. Can we be here? Would you please talk to us? We would appreciate talking to you. We're very open and very friendly and very non-confrontational. And I think they respond to that.
Do they?
And I think that's why we get extended conversations.
Do they have an awareness of their current state? Are they aware that they are dead?
Yes, so far that's what we've encountered. They are aware of themselves in that time, mm-hmm. in that time frame. Say it's you're in Tombstone 1880, but also they're aware that we are visiting from the 21st century.
What are some of the things that you've learned by having these conversations beyond just the confirmation of are you this person? Was this what you did in life? And confirming or getting a good idea on who you're talking to. What are some of the things that you've been able to ask about them on that other side that have surprised you or that you just didn't have knowledge of prior to?
Yeah, one of the things that has surprised me the most, and I think I speak for Dwight and Rhonda also, is the fact that once you cross over, apparently you have lots of options. In other words, you don't cross over and it's either this or either that. You have options. You can choose to stay over there, apparently. A lot of the spirits have decided to come back for very different reasons. We have some come back that we have encountered, and we've asked them, why are you here? And the answer is, well, I was happy here, or I am happy here, or this was a great place, like the Marine Dwight talked about. That he comes back to the happiest day of his life. We have encountered other spirits who cross over to come back to help spirits who are trapped here and help them cross over. So they come back for apparently for very different reasons. And that, you know, that was surprising to me that you have those kind of options available to you.
Mm-hmm. It conflicts, obviously, with a lot of religious thinking. And does that conflict with that at all? Or would you say that it does almost plays hand in hand with it, with this other kind of dimension of in between, which is still here, but just not really visible or audible to most living?
Yeah, my stock answer to that is, that's above my pay grade. I try to avoid religion because you get into all kinds of really, sometimes you get into powerful discussions that you really don't want to get into.
Sure.
I just try to point out, what we have learned, and I point out we are continuing to learn. You know, we're students. What we have learned is once you cross over, you have options. And if there's a divine plan, that has to be part of the divine plan. And, I don't question it. I just look at the evidence and, let that take off from there.
I guess what I'm getting at is more so, and I'm not getting into any sort of religious conversation here. I'm just asking, when you say crossing over, what is the over? I guess it'd be, what are you defining as that when if they're coming back to say they're crossing over? What exactly, and this is just an opinion, based question. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, my opinion would be the crossing over moment would occur, and that's the difference between physical life and spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you cross over from the physical world, you're now in the spiritual world. And apparently once you're in the spiritual world, you can come back to the physical world. You have that choice.
We look at some of the questions that we ask of the dead when we're doing an EVP session, or we're doing some sort of session where they can communicate with us. And I think sometimes you almost look back and go, gosh, I'm asking so many obvious questions questions that more so confirm what I may already think or believe about who this person may be. Has there ever been a question you look back on and go, darn, I wish I would have asked that question kind of in retrospect to a specific situation or individual that you had encountered?
Oh, every time we go out, we'll be driving back after a session and we'll go, oh, darn, we should have asked this, or darn, we should have asked that.
Sure.
And so a lot of times we go back and we'll ask those additional questions. But you always come up with, I wish I had asked more upon contemplation.
Okay. Why don't you pass it over to Rhonda? We'll talk to her for a little bit about some of her experiences.
Yeah, let me pass it along to Rhonda. But I'll just say there's nothing really earth-shattering that, we said, oh, we should have asked this, we should have asked that. It's always fairly mundane. What was it like back in your life? Who were the people around you? What were they like? What was it like living? We ask pretty basic questions, historical research questions.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Dan Baldwin, Rhonda Hull, and Dwight Hull, authors of the book Speaking with the Spirits of the Old Southwest. Thank you guys for joining us. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org.